Thanks for coming out this Sunday morning. Some of you heard this talk on Saturday night. It bears repeating. For those who are listening to these talks from a remote location, such as downloading them as podcasts or iTunes or getting them off of the ISKCON Desire Tree website in Bombay or our own website, you're welcome to give us your feedback and comments by corresponding with us at utahkrishnas@gmail.com. We also have a membership class online at our website, www.utahkrishnas.org. I'd like to thank those who become members because we couldn't do what we do without your help and support. Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Today we'd like to talk about the two hands of God. If you're centering your life around God, if you're devoted to God, you have an advantage that other people don't have. You don't have to go through life depending upon your own strength, your own talents, your own abilities. That God's divine hand is outstretched towards you. We have this concept of ashirvads, blessings. And the blessings are distributed by the outstretched palm of the right hand. So imagine as you go throughout your day, that God's outstretched palm is pointed in your direction. And emanating from his palm are blessings such as pushti. Pushti means good health and nourishment. Tushti. Tushti means satisfaction. Vijaya means to conquer over those who would do you harm. Vridhi, progress, material and spiritual progress. Vinyasha, nasham, destruction of all obstacles which may be in your way. Aishwarya means prosperity and opulence. Ayusha, long life. Shanti, peace, and then also Mangala Karma, that all your works be good. Imagine that every moment of every day, the Lord's outstretched hand is extending in your direction, bestowing upon you health, peace, destruction of obstacles, victory over your enemies. Behind all those whose lives are centered around God, there's a supernatural power. They may be side by side with other co-students and other co-workers, other co-politicians, but there's a difference between those whose lives are centered and devoted to God and those whose aren't. And the difference is that they are in the supernatural. Just like two boys may be walking together. One is an orphan, and one knows that he has a very, very wealthy, powerful father. Though they may be doing the same things together, engaging in the same activities, their consciousness is totally different. The one feels isolated, lost and abandoned, and the other one feels confident, protected, and blessed in every single activity. The outstretched hand of God will help you accomplish dreams that you thought were impossible. The outstretched hands of God will help you to get well when the medical report says there's no hope. The outstretched hand of God will cause you to prosper even when times are lean and the economy is down. His hands are not like our hands. His hands are not made of bones and ligaments and blood vessels and tendons. It's said in his hands are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, wrote a verse to the Supreme Lord. Anyani yasya sakalendriya vriti manti pasyanti panti kalyanti charam jaganti. The difference between ourselves and the Lord is that the Lord is spirit through and through. We are tiny spiritual sparks called jivas inside a material body. There's a difference between our inside, ourselves, and our body. But that difference does not exist with the Lord. He is spirit through and through. That means from his form comes unlimited power. One of the characteristics of his form is that any one of the senses can perform the full-fledged function of any other sense. Our senses are differentiated. We can only touch with our hands, with our skin. We can only see with our eyes, smell with our nose, hear with our ears. But being omnipotent and unlimited, the senses of the Lord are undifferentiated. That means he can taste with his fingers. He can speak and he can create with his eyes. He can eat with his ears. When we offer him a portion of our foodstuffs with love and devotion, those prayers which we offer to the accompaniment of the offerings, the Lord actually eats through those prayers. He enjoys not so much the stuff of the offering, the foodstuffs itself, but he enjoys the intelligence and the devotion and the recognition with which we make and consecrate those offerings. Even in a relative sense, there is a big difference between what my hands can do and the hands of various experts can do in certain fields. A basketball in my hand is a brick and an air ball. But in Michael Jordan's hands, it's 6 NBA championships, several scoring titles, and many, many most valuable player awards. A golf club in my hands is a divot maker and a grave digger. In Tiger Woods' hands, it's Masters Championship. A football in my hands means a fumble and a miss, but in Pat Brady's hands, it's several Super Bowl championships. A steering wheel in my hands is a speeding ticket, but that same steering wheel in Jeff Gordon's hands is a NASCAR's winning race. A knife in my hands is just a way to spread butter, but in a surgeon's hands, it's a life-saving instrument. There are 4 characteristics of God's divine hands. They're uniting, they're providing, they're protecting, and they're empowering. Prabhupada, our spiritual master, came alone, a 70-year-old man in 1965, to New York City with no money. And he had been charged by his spiritual master to build a house in which the whole world can live. To start a spiritual, international, non-sectarian, non-denominational institution which could house not only Indians, but other Asians like Chinese and Japanese and Koreans, as well as Africans, as well as Europeans, as well as North and South Americans. And today, there are 400 temples of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness with thousands and thousands of residential devotees and many, many tens or hundreds of thousands of congregational members. And they're all sheltering under the roof that Prabhupada established, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. These are people, Europeans, Asians, Africans, South Americans, that in the normal course of things, their paths would have never intersected. Living their lives normally in the natural, they would have never even said one word to each other. But because of the hand, the uniting hand of God, styled the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, these people are living together, they're getting along together, and many of them would lay down their lives for each other. It's well known that servicemen, people who have served in the armed forces, Army, Navy, Air Force, because they serve selflessly and in the interest of a bigger cause, when they have reunions, even 20 or 30 or 40 years later, there's a bond. There's a unique, characteristic, tight bond between those servicemen and women that's not there between them and others, and is not there between others who haven't served the higher cause. Service of the Lord is that uniting factor which brings people together. Different races, different cultures, different temperaments, different ethnicities. They could all unite and be cohesively bonded under the banner of an international society for the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Lord's hands, as well as uniting, they're providing. In the Shrejasratara Upanishad, it says, Eko yo bahonam vidadati kaman nitya nityanam chetanas chetananam. Eko means there's one supreme eternal. Nityanam means that there are many, many plural eternals. Eko yo bahonam vidadati kaman. Those plural eternals, which are you and me, have various kamans. We have needs. We have a need of air. We have the need of sunlight. We need a roof over our heads. We need food to eat. So the needs of the many are supplied by the one. Eko bahunam yovidadam. There are 8,400,000 species of life, it's explained, spread throughout the universe. And within an hour after each and every one of those members of each and every one of those species of life awakened, they've all had breakfast. Of course, some of them are breakfast for the others, but that's a topic for a different day. The point is that the Lord has provided. Even in America, there are people that are eating far too much, that have stockpiled more than they and their grandchildren could ever use in a million years, and there are people without sufficient. It doesn't mean that there's an insufficiency in what God has provided. He's provided more than enough for each and every one of His children, but because of a lack of God consciousness, we have divided ourselves unnaturally into the haves and the have-nots. When the Pandavas were in the forest, having been exiled by their enemy Duryodhana, they were living from hand to mouth, sleeping on the ground, dealing with carnivorous beasts and enemies coming at them from all sides. Meanwhile, their enemy Duryodhana was living comfortably in the palace. He was training his troops towards that day when the Pandavas would come out of exile, and then his intention was to exterminate them totally. And the Pandavas at one point came to the edge of depression. Vyasadeva, the incarnation of the Lord, came up and said, "Why are you guys looking so depressed?" And they said, "We're here in the forest. It's all we can do to survive. It's all we can do to get by from day to day." Meanwhile, Duryodhana has consolidated his forces. He's training. He's paying off people. He's making allies. He's gaining power, all with the purpose of exterminating us when we come stumbling out of the forest, weakened after 13 years of exile. Sure, we're depressed. Then at that point, Vyasadeva reminded them that you are God-centered people. You are people for whom God is in the center of your life. You are devotees for whom God is first. And that's not the case with Duryodhana. Those who are godless, they can work, they can slave, they can foam at the mouth, they can plan, they can amass arms and weaponry and outnumber you. But you, by virtue of your faith, by virtue of your steadfastness, by virtue of your rarefied consciousness, you inherit gifts. You are provided whatever it is you lack in order to achieve supremacy over your enemies. And the Pandavas said, "Well, we're just sitting here on a log in front of our campfire. How is that?" Vyasadeva said, "May I remind you that you are all born sons of demigods. That your eldest brother Yudhisthira is the son of Yamaraj, the lord of death. Bhima is the son of Vayu, the god of wind. Arjuna is the son of Indra, who rules the rains and the heavenly planets. And Nakula and Sahadev are the sons of the twin ashrams. All you have to do is invoke your divine patriarchy, and they will give you divine weapons. So that without having allies, without having amassing money, without having trained, you will emerge from the forest divinely armed. With the Pashupati weapon of Lord Shiva, with the Braja of Indra, with the Danda of Yamaraj. And in this way, you will achieve not only parity, you will not only be able to vie with your enemies, but I guarantee you, you will conquer them and regain the kingdom. All because of the providing hands of the Lord. The protecting hands. That day inevitably came when the Pandavas were arrayed in battle against Duryodhana. Duryodhana had 11 Akshohinis of soldiers. One Akshohini is about 205,000 troops divided into elephant, cavalry, charioteers, and infantry. The enemies of the Pandavas had 11 Akshohinis, the Pandavas had 7. They were outnumbered by a factor of 3-2. And on the side of Duryodhana was Bhishma, Dronacharya, Karna, any one of whom could have defeated the champion of the Pandus, Arjuna, on a given day, on a good day. So Kunti, the mother of the Pandavas, she went to Krishna and she said, "Krishna, it doesn't look good. They're outmanned, they're outgunned. It doesn't look good, but you're the Lord of the universe. No matter how much is arrayed against your devotees, it's not going to equal your power. No matter what's on this side, as long as you, the Lord, the creator of millions of universes, are on the other side, it doesn't matter. There's no power that can overwhelm or eclipse the power of He who created unlimited universes." So she said, "Krishna, if you want, you can bring my 5 sons through this dangerous ocean of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and you can bring them safely to the other side." And Krishna said, "Done. I make you this promise." There were 18 days of warfare, 6.5 million soldiers lost their lives, but the 5 Pandava brothers, according to the promise of Krishna, survived unscathed to live another day and to rule their citizenry. So impressed was Kunti that she gave a prayer at the lotus feet of Krishna. She said, "One day the sun may grow cold, the moon may grow hot, but your promise will never be contravened. Your promise will always be fulfilled." And thus the hands of the Lord protected His devotees, even under the most dangerous of circumstances. Moreover, Arjuna was empowered. Those superior warriors, Bhishma, Karna, Dronacharya, they were all defeated by the empowering hands of Krishna. Bhishma was defeated on the 10th day of battle. Dronacharya was defeated on the 15th day of battle. And then Karna was defeated on the 17th day of battle. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, "Ananyas chintayantumam ye jana paribhashate tesham nitya biyuktanam yoga shema vahamiham." If those who are engaged in my service are faced with obstacles, challenges, I will preserve the talents and abilities that they have, and I will provide what they lack. I will preserve what they have, and I will make up what they lack. And then finally, it is said in the Bible, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy empowering hands are always with me. What does this translate to mean for us? It translates to mean that we shouldn't settle where we are. We shouldn't settle into mediocrity. We shouldn't be average. We should go through life aware that we have an advantage over those who are not God-centered in their life. And our advantage is that we know we are children of the Most High God. We know that by the outstretched blessing hand of God, favor is on the way. We know that healing is on the way. We know that the Lord is fighting our battles for Him. When we release our faith in the Creator of the universe, He breathes in our direction. Before we were born, He had a plan for our life. And no power, no contrary power can stop the plan for our life coming to be. Only one that can stop it is ourselves. Otherwise, no gang member, no accident on the freeway, no disease, no financial problem, no legal complication is powerful enough to eclipse the determination of God to implement a plan for good in our lives. He will right every wrong. We've all had setbacks in our lives, but according to the plan of God, the setbacks that we've had are setups for a comeback. Every setback that you've ever had is part of the Lord's plan that you come back even stronger in the end. No bad break can stop the plan of the Lord for you. No accident can stop the plan of the Lord for you. His plan, His pre-plan, is for you to live a glorious, victorious life. And no matter what you've got in your past, no matter what mistakes you've made in the past, no matter what your background is or how dark it is, that does not disqualify you from having the bright future that Krishna created for you. Let's get a new perspective. Let's not go dragging around thinking God's mad at me. I've got to repay Him. I'm hunkering down after this huge debt to God. No, not at all. Rather than that, imagine God's hand outstretched to you. A hand of healing, a hand of favor, a hand of restoration. There's no obstacles in your path which can keep you from your destiny. Remember that that which is for you is greater than any force that can ever come against you. When he took the presidency of South Africa in 1994, Nelson Mandela said these words in his inaugural address. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that frightens us most. We must ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and famous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that people won't feel insecure around you. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us, it's in all of us. And when we let our light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. It's our habit when we chant Hare Krishna to stand up and to raise our arms up above our heads. And sometimes we shout out, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Hari is a name for Krishna and Bol means shout. Hari Bol means shout the names of Krishna and raise your arms. When we're raising our arms, those are arms of faith. And we're connecting with the arms of power which the Lord is lowering and descending in our direction. When our raised arms of faith connect with the Lord's lowered arms of power, hold on to your hat, fasten your seatbelt. Supernatural things are going to take place. Supernatural restoration. Supernatural healing. Supernatural thrusting ahead to different levels. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, at one point, because of Jayadratha, the teenage son of Arjuna was killed unfairly in battle. His name was Abhimanyu. When Arjuna got back and heard that his son had been cruelly and unfairly slaughtered because of Jayadratha, Arjuna, in his grief, he made a rash promise. He said that if during the course of the day's battles tomorrow I do not kill Jayadratha, then I will enter into the fire and commit suicide. This was a rash statement. And immediately Duryodhana's spies carried the news to Duryodhana. He became jubilant. So all we have to do is keep Jayadratha alive in the following day's battle, and then our greatest opponent, Arjuna, will commit suicide. To that end, he organized his 4 million soldiers in the needle formation with Jayadratha at the back. The length of that formation was 49 miles. So as Arjuna's charioteer, Krishna had to navigate Arjuna. They had to either defeat or bypass the entire Kaurava army, 49 miles in length, to get to Jayadratha, and they had to do it before sunset. Because the rules of hostility in those days were that when the sun went down, all hostilities would cease. So they fought and they fought and they fought and they conquered and they bypassed. But it was just a couple of minutes before sunset and they were still a mile away. It was still too difficult for Arjuna to get a clear shot, because Jayadratha was a little too far away and was a little too vigilantly guarded. So Krishna, who is Yogeshwar, who created millions and millions of universes, by his mystic power, he caused the sun to be shrouded prematurely. It looked as if the sun had gone down. The Kauravas dropped their guard, they put their weapons on the ground, they were high-fiving, they were dancing. Krishna said, kill him now. Arjuna notched an arrow and he severed the head of Jayadratha from his body. And then the illusion was dissipated, and then all present there saw the last 30 seconds, the sun dipping below the horizon. Krishna says, I preserve what you have, I carry what you lack. We all reach situations in life when it seems impossible. Legal complication, medical report, we all come to the end of our own ability. And for us it may be impossible, but nothing is impossible for God. What is not possible for man is possible for God. And He will bring us through. Here is the Festival of Colors, which is just a couple of months away now. And we have 50,000 people on the premises of the temple in Spanish Fork. They're chanting Hare Krishna from 10 in the morning till 8 at night. And it's just almost instinctual. Everyone raising their hands up ahead. Raising their hands, stretching out to the Lord who's stretching down on our behalf. Ask yourself, what is a dream in your heart? What is a dream for the betterment of yourself and the improvement of your fellow man and for the glorification of God? That dream is not there by accident. That dream has been seated within your heart by the Almighty God. So go ahead, stretch out your hand to connect with Him and to facilitate supernatural happenings. Go around talking to yourself, thanking Krishna in advance. Thank you, Krishna, that you're blessing me, that your abundance is chasing me down. Thank you, Krishna, that although I've ignored you, that although I've turned my back on you, that although for all practical purposes I've forgotten about you and tried to live my life independently, thank you that you never let me go. Thank you that you never let me forget my divine connection with you. Thank you that you yourself, the Supreme Lord, are down on your knees begging and canvassing me to take advantage of your unlimited power, your unlimited blessings and restoration and favor. Thank you for never ever letting me go. The result is shouts of victory will be heard. When we chant, we shout jubilantly, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. This is Jai Krishna with his hands in the air, singing Hare Krishna before 10,000 people at the Festival of Colors. Jai Krishna is a boy from Orem, Utah. And one story comes to mind. He and I went to Bangalore in 2007 together. We happened to arrive in Bangalore on the day that they had their Rath Yatra procession in downtown Bangalore. One of the most populated streets in all of India is MG Road, named after Mahatma Gandhi, and it bisects right downtown Bangalore. There are thousands and thousands of office buildings with people hanging out the windows. There are buses going here and there again with people hanging out the windows. And in addition to all that, there were traffic cops stopping all the traffic for miles around. And literally thousands and thousands of devotees wending their way for about 6 hours through the streets of Bangalore, pulling the chariot of Lord Jagannath and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And every half hour they had a different lead singer. They would put the microphone, someone would hold the microphone, and there were two big speakers, front and back, mounted on cars as they went along. So at one point they come up and they said, "True, can you lead the kirtan for a half an hour?" And I said, "No, but here's Jai Krishna. Why don't you ask him? He's been leading kirtans for us in Spanish Fork, Utah for over 20 years. He's quite good." And they didn't know who he was. But on my recommendation, they very tentatively said, "Well, can you lead the kirtan for half an hour?" So he took the microphone, and within 10 minutes, he had like 500 brahmacharis. Hari bo, hari, jai jagannath, jai jagannath, jai jagannath. And he was so popular. And of course, he was one of the very few white faces in the crowd, which is a novelty and an attraction to start off with. After the end of the first half hour, they said, "Could you take another shift? Could you go for another half an hour?" And so he went for an hour, where the standard was a half. At the end of an hour, he said, who's next? I said, "Go one more, go one more." This boy from Orem, Utah, is chanting in front of hundreds and thousands, and probably during the course of the hour and a half of his chanting, a million people saw him chanting in one of the most populous streets in all of India. And Haribo, 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 Sitaram, Radhesham, Jai Hanuman. Shouts of victory are destined to come from the mouths of those whose lives are centered around the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj is a well-known devotee of the Lord. He was favored, he was blessed. He constantly thought of the Lord, he served the Lord, he chanted the Lord's holy name. Now, not only was he blessed to have the Lord of the universe appear before him in the form of Nrisingadev, but Nrisingadev, God, asked his devotee, "What can I do for you?" Now, Prahlad Maharaj didn't ask for anything for himself because he had everything one could possibly want. The Lord's ashirvads, the Lord's outstretched hand, had blessed Prahlad with long life, with contentment, with happiness, with peace, with victory all over his enemies. So he had nothing more that he could possibly desire for. But he said, "Is it possible that the blessings that you are directing in my direction could spill over and benefit those who are undeserving? Is it possible that on my behalf you could bless those whose lives are not centered around God? Is it possible that you could bless, in our own case this would say, is it possible that you could bless my errant teenager who's hanging around with the wrong crowd? Is it possible that you could bless my aunt who's had a lingering sickness for a long, long time and she's starting to get alienated from God? Is it possible that you can bless my friend's finances? He seems to be going down for the third time and he's losing hope." And the answer is yes. For those who are centered around God, not only is their lives blessed and perfect, but they can also intercede on behalf of others. And in answer to Prahlad's specific question, is there any chance that in some future incarnation, my father, who was an atheist, who was a demon, who had even tried to kill his own son multiple times, Prahlad says, is it possible that he could ever get salvation at some time in some future incarnation? And Nrisingadev just laughed and he said, "Because you are a pure devotee, didn't you know that automatically 10 generations in the past and 10 generations in the future automatically get liberated? Not only will your father, not only will he be saved, he's saved right now. He's already enjoying salvation because you are a pure devotee of the Lord." Don't believe the never lies. Don't believe it when your mind in the natural starts telling you, "I've been sick so long, I'll never get well." Don't believe it, "I've been in debt for so long, I'll never get out of debt." Don't believe it, "My teenage son is lost and will never ever be restored to me." These are lies that your mind says to you. When you get tempted and when you get near to the never land, then more than ever, you need to look out to see God's outstretched hand in front of you. In the coming days, you're going to see the outstretched hand of God do amazing things in your life. You're going to see Him turn around situations that you thought were impossible. You're going to see Him break addictions. You're going to see Him put people across your path that are going to thrust you to the next level. I heard about when the World War II was raging between the Americans and the Japanese on the Pacific Islands. One American soldier got some or other behind the Japanese lines. And they were searching for him in the caves of this island. They were going in one cave after another looking for him to kill him. He had taken shelter in the depths of one particular cave, and he was praying to the Lord, "Lord, please send your outstretched hand to some other, protect me from this great peril." And the Japanese were systematically searching all the caves, getting closer and closer to the cave in which he was secreted. And he was praying, wasn't seeing anything dramatic, nothing coming from heaven. The only activity that he noticed was a little spider making its web in front of him. And at one point he jokingly said, "Lord, thanks for sending the spider, but I think in the face of the Japanese war veterans, their automatic weapons and their hand grenades, I think probably we need to get something a little bit more heavy duty here." But the spider just kept, and nothing else happened, and nothing else happened. And he thought he was a goner when they came to this cave, five or six of them. And one of them started to go in the cave. And what do you think happened? He saw the spider web. He saw the spider web. And he said, there can't be anyone inside because there's this spider web here. And if there were anyone inside, the spider web would have broken. So they passed that cave, and then they went to another cave. Though you may be surrounded by trouble, God will bring you through. As His one hand is extended in blessings to His devotees, His other hand is clenched in a fist against all those who would oppose the devotees. In the Bhagavad Gita, He says, "One hand is paritanaya sadhanam. I come to protect the innocent and to preserve the principles of religion. And the other hand is vinasya to duskritam. And I come to annihilate the miscreants." In His forearm form of Vishnu, He has four symbols, one in each arm. And two of the symbols are for the devotees, and two of the other symbols are for the non-devotees. The two for the devotees are the Padma, the lotus, and the Shankha, the Kansha. And the two for the non-devotees is the pulverizing club, the Gada, as well as the razor shark, Sudarshana Jist, the consciousness. So God clenches His fist against anything that would oppose you. That means depression. That means sickness. That means poverty. God's promise is that He will free the devotee from all forms of oppression. He will free one whose life is God-centered from depression. He will free him from poverty and lack, from addiction, from the oppression of people that are holding you back. He'll move your enemies out of the way. Or He'll change the hearts of your enemies to make them want to do good to you. I heard about a man who wanted to get an approval for a congregational hall for his church, a big meeting and cultural hall that they wanted to build. So he went to the zoning board, and he came to this desk where a very grumpy man was sitting, and he submitted his plans for the approval of this congregational hall for the church. And the man was very rough, very brusque, very impolite, said it's going to take 2 years. And the applicant, on behalf of his pastor, he said, "Why 2 years? Isn't that extraordinarily long?" And the bureaucrat said, "It's going to take 2 years. I'm the only one doing this. I'm backed up. 2 years. It's not going to be any less." And the man said, "Well, I'll pray. I'll pray to God that it be expedited." And then that got the man even more upset. He said, "You can pray all you want, but I'm in charge, and it's going to take 2 years. About 6 weeks later, he got a call. It was the man. He said, "Your paperwork's done and approved. Come and get it." He said, "Are you sure?" He said, "Yeah, I'm sure." So he put down the phone. He went down to the zoning office as quickly as he can. He looked, and sure enough, everything was stamped and everything was approved. And he said, "I thought you said it was going to take 2 years. He said, "Well, it was going to take 2 years, but when you left, I couldn't get you out of my mind. I was thinking you at breakfast. I was thinking you at lunch. I couldn't sleep at night thinking of you. So I went ahead and got it all done so I can don't have to think of you anymore. Now take your papers and get out." He can make your enemies even want to do good for you. He can promote you above your tormentors. He can move the tormentors out of the way. Or He can change the heart of your tormentors. Krishna can break any bondage. Bondage of poverty, sickness, addiction, depression, and even death. Even death. Here's a poem by Alexander Pope regarding death. "Vital spark of heavenly flame, quit or quit this mortal frame. Trembling, hoping, lingering, flying, oh the pain, the bliss of dying. Cease, fun nature, cease thy strife. Let me languish into wife. Hark, thy whisper angels say, sister spirit, come away. What is it's absorbed me quite? Steals my senses, shuts my sight, drowns my spirit, draws my death breath. Can tell me, O soul, can this be death? The world recedes, it disappears. Heaven opens unto my eyes, my ears with sounds seraphic ring. Lend your wings, I mount, I fly. O grave, where is thy victory? O death, where is thy sting?" Here in the Bhagavad Gita, 2nd chapter, 72nd verse, Krishna says, quote, to center your life around God is the way of the spiritual and godly life, after attaining which a man is not bewildered. Being so situated, even at the hour of death, one can enter into the kingdom of God. And later on, Krishna says, declare it boldly, O son of Kunti, my devotee never perishes. Yamaraj, the lord of death, himself declares that he does not claim those who wear tulsi neck beads and who have on their lips the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Can I tell you about the kitten and the rat and the cat? The cat at various times has a kitten in its mouth, and other times it has a rat in its mouth. Though the kitten and the rat are both in the same mouth of the cat, the experience is different for them. When the kitten is in the mouth of the cat, the kitten feels only love. When the rat is in the mouth of the rat feels only death. So Krishna says, on the one hand, my fist is clenched against those who are envious and atheistic and who oppose the devotees. Mritu sarva harastyaham. I approach them as cruel, all-devouring death. But on the other hand, he said, those who serve me in love and devotion, I promise that I will guide them, I will provide for them, I will empower them, I will protect them, I will unify them, and eventually they will come to live with me a life of eternity, bliss, and knowledge in my supreme abode. In the coming days, I believe, as you've shouted Hari Bol and danced in ecstasy so many times in the past, I predict more of that in the same, more ecstatic chanting, more shouts of victory from your mouths. The outstretched hand, the blessing hand of God, will bring you supernatural opportunities. All through the day, we need to imagine Krishna's hand of favor, Krishna's hand of healing, Krishna's hand of restoration stretching down to us. When things impossible and it looks like we can't get through and there's too many things stacked against us, don't look down. Don't look down at your troubles. Don't look down at the stumbling blocks. Look up at the outstretched hand of God and raise your own hand of faith to meet and connect with His hand of power. When that happens, you're no longer in the natural. When that happens, supernatural things will occur. The magic will begin. You'll overcome every obstacle. You'll defeat every enemy. And Krishna's going to take you places that you never even dreamed about. And if you're inclined to chant with me, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.